Now, I want you to know the deepest depths. Every person has a share in this world and a share in the world to come. We understand the concept of a share in the world to come. But what does it mean to have a share in this world? Open your hearts. Having a share in this world means I know exactly what I have to do in this world. This is a very high level. If I know that if I don't do it, it just won't happen, then I've just got to do it. This is my share in the world. That was Rav Shlomo Carlebach's teaching about how to trust your gut and know that if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it. That was the determination and the clarity that Shlomo had to continue his mission. I'm going to read some stories from Holy Brother to show how he brought these ideas to life. In 1966, when Rabbi Saul Berman was the spiritual leader of Beth Israel Synagogue, an Orthodox congregation in Berkeley, California, he met Shlomo Carlebach for the first time. He knocked on my door one Friday night and introduced himself, Rabbi Berman reminisces. He said he was going to be performing at the massive Berkeley Folk Festival on Saturday night and was looking for an Orthodox family with whom he could share Shabbos. Someone in town had directed him to my home. Of course, I immediately invited him to spend Shabbos with us, and he gratefully accepted, exclaiming effusively, "Oh, my sweetest friends, you're doing me the biggest favor of my life." We spoke for a while, and then after several minutes of animated discussion, he bid me farewell and turned to leave. As he strode down the path, he called over his shoulder, "Just in case I find a couple of lonely Jews who also want to taste Shabbos, would it be okay if I bring them with me?" "No problem, gladly," I responded, and went into the kitchen to advise my wife to prepare a little bit more than usual. The way the festival organizer had structured the concert, Rabbi Berman recalls, was that on the Friday preceding the event, all the performers were scheduled to do 10-minute gigs out on Sproul Plaza on the Berkeley campus as a kind of preview to what they would be doing the following night. From the moment Shlomo began singing, he had the crowd mesmerized. No performer before him had elicited the response that he did. He had them singing, clapping, and dancing in a way that was unbelievable. Everyone came to hear him, and before the 10-minute gig was over, he was playing to a mob of several thousand people. When the gig was over, Shlomo thanked the crowd and said in his characteristic, expansive way, "Anyone who is interested in continuing the experience and would also like to taste Shabbos is invited tonight to the house of Rav Saul Berman," and he announced my address. Friday night, 400 people showed up at my door. Needless to say, my wife hadn't prepared for quite that many, and she ran to our next-door neighbor, fortunately also kosher, for help. We pulled all our Shabbos food and chopped it into teeny little pieces and distributed it all around. There wasn't much food, and there certainly wasn't much room, but nobody seemed to notice or care, because what we did have in abundance was lots of ruach and love to match. This Shabbos marked Shlomo's formal introduction to the Berkeley community and developed within him a sense of connectedness to these people. 1 year later, he opened the Rav Shlomo opened the House of Love and Prayer in San Francisco. R.E. Coopersmith retells in another amazing, amazing story highlighting Shlomo's spontaneity. The Berkeley Folk Festival in 1966 featured an impressive roster of the 60s greats. Pete Singer, Peter, Paul, and Mary, Joan Baez, they're all there and accorded warm receptions. But of all the stars who performed the concert, it was Shlomo Carlebach who elicited the greatest response. Everyone agreed. The singing rabbi emerged as the undeniable hit of the entire show. When the concert ended, Shlomo had in tow hundreds of fans whose hearts he had opened during his performance. A virtual unknown at the start of the show, his charisma, warmth, and authenticity had instantly transformed into a kind of Pied Piper of Judaism, or Pied Piper. When he left the concert, we pursued him onto the streets where we followed him as he slowly walked towards the hotel. As we reached the entrance to the hotel, we felt disheartened that the moment to bid Shlomo farewell had arrived so quickly. We had heard that he was booked on a return flight to New York the next morning, and we wondered if we would ever see him again. Sadly, we began to approach him one by one for a last embrace. In the meantime, Shlomo stood framed in the doorway, chuckling, intently stroking his beard in a meditative way. It took only a minute for him to snap out of his reverie. "Chevra," he shouted joyously, "do you want to continue this experience?" We responded with a thundering, "Yes." "Then please wait out here for a moment. I just had an idea," Shlomo said, opening the doors of the hotel. Now, the old Shattuck Hotel where Shlomo was staying, Arya chuckles, is probably one of the most staid and sedate hotels in the area, attracting an extremely conservative clientele. Nonetheless, Shlomo had no compunction about walking up to the desk clerk and saying, "I'm so sorry to bother you in the middle of the night, but would it be possible for me to rent the whole top floor of the hotel for my holy friends?" The desk clerk was startled, but as it so happens, the top floor was indeed vacant, and he was therefore happy to comply with Shlomo's request. Luckily, he had not yet seen the hundreds of holy friends. We were astounded by Shlomo's generosity. At his own personal expense, he booked us into the hotel for days, ordered food and drink, and proceeded to give us from our first taste of Judaism, what turned out to be a marathon teaching. For many of us, this experience proved life-changing. Shlomo awakened and expanded our souls in a way nobody had before, and turned us on to Judaism. For a significant number of us, the House of Love and Shlomo's teaching, which unofficially launched the House of Love and Prayer, was just the beginning of a journey back to our roots. Shlomo's genius was his spontaneity. Renting the top floor of the Shattuck Hotel for a Jewish experience had never been part of the plan. But when he saw our spiritual hunger, he immediately responded. Shlomo knew how to seize the moment. Consequently, none of us were ever quite the same. Gewalt. Hashem should bless us to have that spontaneity and that love and to seize the moment as Shlomo did. Shri Zaycha to see miracles. Have an amazing day.